there are a ton of emails sent and received each and every day. In fact, according to Radicati Group, the average person is sending and receiving about 121 emails each and every day. Now, that's average. The people that you and I as sales professionals are trying to get in front of, the C-level, the high-level decision makers, in many cases, it's north of over 200 emails a day. So today I thought it might be valuable if we talk about one really simple thing that you can do to stand out. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. It should come like as absolutely no surprise to you that email is by far the noisiest channel that's out there. I had mentioned to you before, according to Radicati Group, the average person is sending and receiving 121 emails each and every day. We know that as the higher we go up in an organization, the higher that number goes. So you have many decision makers out there who are sending and receiving north of 200 to 300 emails per day. And if you want like just some more like dramatic evidence here, according to like if you look at the numbers that Radicati shares, right now we're looking at about 74 trillion emails sent out each and every year. And if you just want to like break it down into a more manageable number for you to picture, I just want you to count to one with me. Seriously, it's not a joke. I'm not, you know, this is not a trick. You ready? Let's just count to one together. Ready? One. That was nice and simple. Well, in that 1 second, 2.5 million emails were sent, right? It's amazing how much noise we have out there, and yet we have to compete with all that. So to me, our biggest competitor is not necessarily the other person up the road selling the same widget as we are. It's everything that's competing for that decision maker's attention, if you will. And just in the email channel, we have a ton of it. So there's one really simple thing that you can do that will enable you to stand out from about 99.9% of all the other salespeople who are emailing your potential client. And it's a very simple concept that I teach, and it's called communication mapping. Now, with communication mapping, what you're going to do first is you're going to think about all the different types of emails, the different flavors of emails that you want to have in a bit of an arsenal. And the reason why you want to create an arsenal, when I'm saying an arsenal, you don't need like 50,000 different emails, but you really like, most of the people listening here, you probably don't have more than maybe two different emails or whatever. And I don't say that sarcastically. I say that as someone who owns a business and who is approached by sales professionals all the time to, you know, like be the proud owner of their widgets. And I notice a really big mistake that a lot of salespeople make. And what they do is they basically have one email that they repackage over and over again. And it's just really what's happening. When you keep sending the same person the same repackaged email, whether you realize it or not, is you're conditioning them not to open your email anymore. And why would they? If it's the same email every time, and they're scanning their inbox, and they have a limited amount of time, and they're getting anywhere from, you know, 120, they're involved in 121 emails a day to over 200 to 300 of them per day. You add in all the other things that they're tasked with and all the interruptions they have each and every hour, which is like 7 an hour, by the way, according to different studies. Wendy Cole in Time Magazine said that the average person is interrupted about 7 times an hour. We have Fast Company Magazine saying that the average person is exposed to over 3,000 advertising messages. When you have that kind of stuff coming at you in that type of volume, you're going to make very, very quick decisions as to whether or not something's worth your time. So if we see an email in there all the time from Jane Jones. And Jane Jones is basically saying the same thing every time. It's just, it becomes pointless to read it anymore if it's the same thing. So what I mean by repackaging the same email is they have the same email and they don't even like change the words around. What I noticed a lot of people are doing is they'll send you an email and then about a week later, many times it's like about 4 days later, I notice, it's anywhere from 4 days to a week, closer to the 4 day side of the spectrum, if you will, I notice that they forward the same shitty email, by the way. And it's kind of like they'll put like a little phrase in there, just circling back, wanted to give this a bump to the top of your inbox or whatever. And I notice that in many cases, they will repeat that at least one to two more times. So you're taking that same email and repackaging it two to three times. And it's just, it becomes a bit much. So the thing that I want to recommend to you is that you embrace communication mapping. So you start by building an arsenal of, I would say, I mean, seriously, you'd want to have, I would love it if you had about a good dozen emails that you were sending out that were very, very different. So first, let's talk about how you can increase the amount of emails that you're using right now. Let me give you some ideas to get the wheels turning. So first of all, I would say it's safe to say that you have some kind of an intro email already. So an intro email, how about an email where you share something, whether it be a useful resource, perhaps an idea. You could also send along an email where you're asking a question about something, preferably something that's going on in their world that shows that you've done your homework. You're not just like some guy going down a list that doesn't know anything about them, who's going to waste their time. Also, I think a really good email for you to consider would be, I call them evidence emails. And you've heard me, if you've been following this podcast for a while, you hear me talk a lot about evidence. Evidence is something that we use to eliminate or at least reduce doubt and skepticism and hopefully head off an objection at the pass. So let me say it again. Evidence is something that we use in sales to reduce doubt, eliminate doubt and skepticism, and, you know, hopefully head off an objection at the pass. And we can use it at many different times of the sales cycle. But today, in this context, I'm talking about emails. So there's different things that you can do to help put people at ease and trust you at a much higher level. So one form of evidence could be to provide facts to people. Now, if you notice today, when I was talking about the amount of emails that people send and receive, I didn't just give you some hypothetical thing. I didn't say to you, hey, everyone, you know, I'm sure we'd agree that everybody just sends a ton of emails, right? I mean, we'd all agree on that. But didn't it pack a little more punch when I said to you that according to Radicati Group, the average person, and I gave you that. So that is one form of evidence, providing facts. Now, the other thing that you can do to provide evidence would be to give some context to something that you're saying. So if you noticed, if you think back to how I began this podcast today, I was telling you how many emails are sent and received on a yearly basis, right? What did I say, 74 trillion or whatever it is. But then I said, well, let's just break that down. And I had you count to one. I kind of involved you in it. And I said, each second, we're at about 2.5 million. So I kind of put it into a better context for you. So that's another form of evidence. A really good form of evidence would be a testimonial. That could be another form of evidence. And by the way, all these ideas that I'm giving to you can be different emails that you can sprinkle in throughout the courtship. Now, let's kind of just take a time out for a minute. You notice how I said courtship? I want you to think about any other courtship that's out there, like a real life courtship, like you're courting somebody. Imagine if you had the same shitty date with somebody. I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, you keep having a Netflix night and you're watching just an eh kind of movie, right? It's like, eh, it's like nothing else is on. It's an eh type of movie, right? I mean, how long before, like you bored somebody, like to death? And I think that happens a lot of the time when we're trying to court a potential client. We keep showing up with the same shitty date, which is that same shitty email. So we want to mix that up a little bit. So providing evidence emails can be important. So we said facts, we said providing context, we said testimonials. You know, what's really interesting about testimonials and facts and things like that is that they answer the question, well, who says so besides yourself? Who says so besides yourself? And there's a study that HubSpot put out that really has intrigued me, and I noticed it. Maybe it came out a lot earlier than this, but I first came across this study from HubSpot probably December 2017. And I know it's a recent study, and they found that it was like about 3% of the population actually trust salespeople. It's somewhere around there. That's the actual number. It's like 3%, and I'm saying the population of everybody they surveyed. Like, they didn't like get everybody in the, like, the whole world in a room somewhere, this huge, like, ginormous room, and say, hey, everybody, what do you think of sales reps? Do you trust these people? No, thumbs down. Okay, you guys suck, get out of the room. No, it wasn't like that. So everybody that they surveyed, and it really shouldn't shock you. And I've talked to people about this number, people saying, I don't know if I believe that number and everything else. I mean, you know, if you look at 3%, and what if, like, HubSpot just completely just BS'd? They thought, well, what the hell? Who's going to catch us? Let's BS the numbers. And maybe it's a bit higher than that. Still, you have an overwhelming amount of people out there who really don't trust us as salespeople. I mean, seriously, including other salespeople. And I always give that example. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you and I are no different. You go to the store and you're looking for something. Somebody says, can I help? You say, I'm just looking. But you really did need the help. So we don't, we kind of like to go at our own pace and just get the lay of the land and just like observe, you know, like that salesperson in their natural habitat, make sure they're not a sleaze or anything like that. It happens. So what we should be doing is, in our communication, providing proactive evidence. And what I mean by proactive is before somebody says, hey, you're full of shit, I don't believe you, like, provide that evidence to them to kind of head it off at the pass. But there's other ways that you can provide evidence as well. So an evidence email is pretty important. And you know what? I'll give you one more form of evidence. And I've talked about this one before. Using analogies are really powerful forms of evidence, especially when you want somebody to grasp your selling point. The use of analogies can be just quite powerful. And the one that I love to point to is, you know, courtesy of the folks at Verizon. I thought they did. Courtesy of the folks at Sprint. Because they had, you remember that guy used to work over at Verizon, the can you hear me now guy? He kind of traded teams and went over to Sprint. And their selling point over at Sprint is basically, why should you spend all this additional money for what's a 1% difference? Now, let's back up a little bit. For years, Verizon has been talking about the power of their network, right? And they've done a really good job of it, including giving us a really powerful visual representation of something that's an intangible thing. A network? Like, what the hell does a network look like? So for years, I mean, probably the better part of a decade, what Verizon did was, anytime they have these commercials, they'd give you a visual representation of this powerful network, and it was a bunch of people behind the Can You Hear Me Now person. And in all their print ads, you'd see a bunch of people so that you'd get a visual representation of an intangible selling point. So it was a very smart thing that they did. So now they've gone on for years and years and years saying how powerful their network is. And they are quite a bit more expensive than Sprint. So Sprint wants to illustrate that. So they can come out and they could say to you, hey, by the way, you know, it's really not that much of a difference and you're paying a lot more for really a very small difference, right? And they could probably do okay with it. They probably say it a little bit better than I said it there. And, you know, they could do okay with it. But instead, what they did was brilliant. They gave you an analogy and they did several ones. They had the barbershop one, where there's, you know, these people getting a haircut, and this one person, he gets done with the haircut, and, you know, I think the barber says to him, how do you like it? I gave you a 1% improvement of what you have. He goes, I can't see it at all. He goes, okay, that'll be 30% more, please, or something like that. They made the point again, where, like, you obviously cannot see that difference in the haircut, and yet they want to charge you all this extra money. The other way that they did it with an analogy, it was right around the holidays, and you had the Can You Hear Me Now guy. I don't even know what the hell the guy's name is, by the way. By the way, I think his name might be Paul, and I'm having a hard time remembering his name, right? That's kind of crazy. But anyway, whatever the hell his name is, I'm just going to call him the Can You Hear Me Now dude. He's shopping for a Christmas tree, and, you know, out with his partner shopping for a tree, and you see two different trees there that look identical, and one's like $100 and one's like, you know, $60-something. And he said, you know, there's a 1% difference here, but all this extra money. But do you see what they did? They actually did several things. They used an analogy. But you see, what they do in advertising, which is brilliant, is they use the power of repetition. And that's something I want you to jot down. If you're not in the car driving, I want you to, or at least make a mental note, to use repetition throughout your courtship. And the way that they use repetition in a way that it wasn't repetitious is they had, and we call, in music, we call it theme and variation. Theme and variation. So what was the theme here? The theme was, why pay all this extra money for a like about a 1% difference? And the way that they varied that message was through the use of different analogies. Like you had the Christmas tree and you had the haircut, right? And you had other times that they delivered the message. And I'm wondering if you could do something like that throughout your courtship. So step number one to dramatically improving your emails is to create an arsenal of these different types of emails, right? Evidence emails, asking a question, the intro email, sharing an idea or a resource or something like that. And by the way, just a very quick commercial for you, and we're going to talk more about it at the end. If you want a bunch of ideas and you want to dramatically build your arsenal, like if you agree with me, be like, oh, Castan, I'm struggling to come up with a variety of emails. We actually have a webinar that's going to be coming up on March 8th, and I have a file of 20 email sales email templates I'm going to be sharing with everyone. And if you want to, like, not wait till the end of the webinar, at the end of the podcast today, if you go to YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockyouremail. YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockyouremail. You can learn more about that webinar. So step number one is you create the arsenal. Step number two is, now what I want you to do is think about the order that these will fall into, right? What's going to be your sequence? So I would think that email number one is probably going to be your email, your intro email. Then you want to think out, okay, well, what's going to typically, and each case might be different. We might be taking this on a case by case, but this is kind of a generic communication map, if you will. So email number one that you're going to send to someone typically is going to be an intro email. Then I want you to think about, okay, how long am I going to wait before I send email number two, and what is that going to look like? And remember, the important thing in here, remember, we don't want to have that same bad date over and over again. You have the intro email, the next one should be different. It shouldn't be the same one repackaged. Maybe on the second one you're sending an idea, or you're reiterating a point that you made in the first email, but now through the use of evidence or context like we talked about, something like that. So that's what I want you to think about is step number two. What's going to be the order that these fall into? And as a bonus tip, I want you to realize that I'm hoping that email is not the only thing in your bag of tricks. I'm hoping that there's phone calls in there. I'm hoping that there would be some degree of snail mail, FedEx in there, maybe a drop-in or a drop-off, maybe some LinkedIn in there as well, maybe something creative. And think about mixing it up so that you're not always contacting them the same way. So watch what's happened here. We're mixing up the flavor of the email, if you will, and the flavor of the date by, like, you know, different types of messaging. But we're also varying the platform that we're using, the form of outreach that we're using. So it's not always going to be an email. It's sometimes it might be something through LinkedIn, or it might be, God forbid, we pick up the phone, or maybe it's a local company and you want to stop by or whatever. But I want you to think about that too. So now, if you take those simple steps that I told you and you think about creating more of an arsenal, and please don't be intimidated by the word arsenal. I mean, I'm talking about arsenal. Even if you come up with five or six, it's going to be better than what you have right now and better than your competitors, because as a person who receives a lot of sales emails, I'm telling you, the vast majority, it's the same thing that I'm getting over and over again forwarded to me, as if to say, hey, dumbass, how about like responding to me? And it's just, it gets old and tired. And yes, it's the same shitty date over and over again. It's not a courtship at that point. So if you could get five to six different ones and build on that, and then think about, okay, what I'm typically going to do is I'll send this first one, I'll wait 4 days. And then if I don't hear back, then touch number two is going to kick in. And I'm saying touch number two. I didn't say email number two. Touch number two. Touch number two might be the phone call. It might be one of the other things that we talked about, or it might be email number two. But if you can do that, the quality of your communication is going to be so much better than your competitors, not just because they forward the same thing over and over again, because there's another class of people that's out there, and all of us need to hang our heads, myself included, because all of us are guilty of having done this. If you use a CRM, what happens many times is you get the little alert that goes off that says, like, ABC company or whatever. So there you are in that moment that you're either reaching for the phone or fingers going to the keyboard to fire out an email to the ABC company, you're making a snap decision as to what that communication is going to look like and sound like. So here's the million-dollar question, folks. What do you think is going to represent a higher level of communication, a higher quality communication? One where you're operating seat of the pants in the split second, reaching for a phone or the keyboard, or one where this is premeditated and you know that, okay, I've already thought out what that second touch is going to be, the flavor of it, what it's going to sound like. It's, you know, it's a regular routine. I'm not reinventing the wheel with every single contact that I try to make. So, I mean, it's really that simple, folks. There you have it. That's what I would do. If you want a little bonus tip that you can do, I talk about the three-touch mini campaign. And again, you create this arsenal, but think in threes and think about, okay, from like think about a brand, like a company that you're going after for the first time. Think about your first three touches, what they're going to look like and sound like. Just like come up with those. Maybe it's going to be email intro number one. I am going to wait 4 or 5 days, and then it's a phone call. Then I wait a week, and then it's, I don't know, email number two, whatever. or it's a drop-in, or it's an email. It's not an email. It's an invite over on LinkedIn or whatever. But if you think that out and you think in threes, get your first three, you try those on for size, see how they're working, then you create your next three. I'm just going to say, even if you stopped right there, you've got six more pre-planned communication moments or touches, if you will, than you have right now, and certainly more than your competitors have. And it's really that simple. So if you want to dramatically improve the quality of your communication with potential clients, you need to premeditate it. You need to have a little bit of an arsenal, at least 5 to 6 different emails that you're going to be using. If you're going to be showing up on the most crowded, noisiest platform there is, you really got to think about that messaging a little bit. And then think about how much time you're going to wait before the next touch. And you should think about that when you're not just in the moment. And again, each, you could take it on a case by case, but I think there's kind of a generic flight plan that you can create, if you will, where, you know, for the most part, I'm going to send an intro email. I'm going to wait a certain amount of time, then touch number two. I'm going to wait a certain amount of time, then touch number three. And that's all you really have to do. Now, if you found value in this and you want to take it to the next level, we're going to be doing a webinar on March 8th. And it's called 70 Ways to Rock Your Sales Emails. Now, just, and by the way, my math was really off when I came up with this. And it's actually going to be closer to 100 tips that I'm and tactics that I'm going to be sharing, because there's 70 different tips and tactics that I'm going to be sharing. Actually, about 72. And then there are 20 different emails that I'm going to walk you through, and I'm going to also send you the email template. So if you'd like to learn more about this, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.